This is the product, David Starr, the King of Taunts, the 104-minute man, and you're listening to the Oversell Podcast, pretty much just the best podcast there is, period, for reals.
It is episode 37, and we are talking New Japan Pro Wrestling, Marvel Elite Wrestling, the Southern Heavyweight Classic, and much, much more. Stick around. This is the Oversell Podcast. Gentlemen, cooler than the Bullet Club, working a harder style than Nakamura. This is the Oversell Podcast. My name is Derek.
I'm Dan.
I'm Mike.
And we are here to talk a little professional wrestling.
And I don't know about all that about being cooler than the Bullet Club.
We are cooler than the Bullet Club. Throwing our two sweets.
If you say so. Hey. If you say so.
I'm cool. No, I'm not. I'm just a nerd that likes wrestling. We missed everyone last week, guys. I missed you last week. But
and the week before.
Well, not. We were there the week before. You weren't.
You weren't. But
you
yes.
weren't.
I wasn't.
No. Do we have an
You're
interview
right.
that day?
I wasn't.
Who did we talk to that week? Was that David Starr?
Yeah, that was David Starr.
Yeah.
I didn't get to talk to David Starr.
Okay. David Starr was cool.
Very cool.
Very cool guy.
Awesome.
Had a great interview with him. But cool. Now it's a new year.
Yes.
And this new year is already starting off with a bang in the wrestling world. Before we got New Japan Pro Wrestling had their Wrestle Kingdom 10 show this weekend. And I'm not going to go match by match or anything like that because I don't want to spoil it because I really want people to go out and see this show.
Yeah.
This is my first New Japan show that I've watched. And holy shit.
The clips that I've seen of it are awesome.
These guys, they work harder than a lot of the workers in America. Nothing against the workers in America. It's just these guys in Japan take it to a whole nother level.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I showed you guys the Shibata Ishii match. Those guys were beating the hell out of each other for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those shots look so stiff, the kicks to the back.
Crazy.
And me and Dan were talking before we started recording. You know, I was looking for the slap on the thighs when they were giving those kicks.
Dan was like,
The other guy may have been slapping his belly, and I looked again, and
it was straight up skin to skin or knee pad to skin that was making those cracks and the pops and stuff. So yeah, it's serious stuff over there, man.
George in the chat room already there says that show is longer than Titanic. It was like a five hour show.
I don't doubt it.
It had a battle royal that had Cheeseburger in it, which was highly entertaining. They sent him out. And I think it was Tiger Mask, and there was another, I think Liger was in it, and there was this other, I didn't get to watch this match, but there's this older Japanese wrestler, and Cheeseburger would try to hit him or something, and the dude would just no-sell him, hit him once, and then Tiger Mask and Liger would help him back up and try to get him to go attack the guy, and it was really funny. Man, Okada and Tanahashi had a great match. Kenny Omega. And who did he wrestle? He wrestled Nakamura? No, AJ Styles wrestled Nakamura, and that was holy shit.
Yeah, I saw a few clips of that. We're going to talk a little about those guys later.
Why can't I think of who Kenny Omega wrestled?
Because you don't have that great of a memory?
I guess not. But I think it was the Back to the Future stuff. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
And he came out. All right, so I told you the guys, this wrestler came out as Marty McFly.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Omega comes out like the Terminator. So when he comes to his entrance, he's on the kneel and he gets up. And, you know, Kenny Omega's in the Bullet Club.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the spots in his match is the Young Bucks came out. And they had grabbed these trash cans. Right before Kenny Omega did a big move, they started doing the... the Terminator thing. It was a cool spot. But Kenny Omega is another guy that... I mean, I was really impressed. Some of these guys I have never seen wrestle before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because I haven't watched Ring of Honor much.
Right.
Yeah.
And New Japan, but I really like Michael Elgin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's great.
It's good watching Jay Lethal work. It was even cool watching the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
They had a good match. The Red Dragons, they did like a four-team tag match with the Red Dragons and... you know, like I said, I'm trying not to.
The Dragon's good, too.
Yeah, and trying not to just straight up ruin the card because I want people to go out and watch it because it's quite an amazing show.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you have 5 hours to kill.
Yeah. Well, you know, they have this site.
You know, I'm probably going to watch that one in sections.
they have the New Japan World, which is just like the WWE. And Ricochet was also in that tag match, and George said he's incredibly talented, insanely talented. I mean, just another guy that can just go.
Mm-hmm.
But they have New Japan World. It's like $8.40 a month, $8.40 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like the WWE Network. You get access to their whole back catalog.
That's cool.
And you can go back and watch Wrestle Kingdom 9. I haven't watched it yet, but I hear it was like one of the probably the best wrestling shows from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
So get out there and check it out, folks. I told myself in this new year I'm going to focus on other wrestling outside of the WWE, and I feel like I've gotten on a good start by watching
Wrestle
Kingdom.
Yeah, you definitely did get on a good start by doing the New Japan thing. So.
And I did not realize how long this country, New Japan has been around. It's been around 40 years.
Yeah.
Masahiro Chono, Jushin Thunder Liger.
Yeah.
The Great Muta. I mean, I didn't realize. And they had the NWO faction for just for New Japan. Yeah. Like, Hogan and Hall came over to wrestle for him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm just. It's incredible.
Yeah. It is. It's a tradition over there. It's a steeped tradition over there. Almost as much of a tradition as it is in Mexico. So, I mean, it is. It's an amazing. Long-lasting thing, too. You know, pro wrestling is alive and well in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Great matches. They told stories. And the commentary was all right. I mean, these guys are telling me it was Funaki that was doing it. I still think it was Yoshitatsu. And George in the chat room may be able to correct whoever it is who's wrong on that. But Matt Stryker was good at, for like me, watching it.
Mm-hmm.
He would give a little bit of history during the matches, so that helps me out
right. Learning
stuff. So that's my first non-WWE show of the year, and
I don't know. Matt Stryker's statistics weren't very accurate when he was in WWE. it's more of that revisionist history shit that I think Vince was plugging into his brain or something. It just might be me, but every single time he would quote a statistic, it always seemed like he ended up on Botchamania. You know?
Well,
he was no Mike Adamley.
Oh my God. Jeff Harvey.
George said some Japanese guy.
Japanese guy.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly
it's that
what
guy.
About.
Yeah.
Okay.
That Japanese guy.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, go check out Wrestle Kingdom 10. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And big news off of that. Do we want to talk about this now? The big news for the WWE?
We can talk about it whenever you want.
Yeah.
Because we can do that.
First show of the year, you know. So.
Okay. Bullet Club.
Bullet Club.
Wow.
Coming to WWE. AJ Styles. Carl Anderson.
You don't say.
Your
freaking internet blew
Doc Gallows.
Off,
Doc Gallows.
Nakamura's going to come.
Nakamura's great.
I saw my buddy Fred at Kayfabe Connection. Be sure to subscribe to his podcast at Kayfabe Connection on iTunes. He tweeted, like, if the WWE loves us, they'll give us Daniel Bryan versus Nakamura at WrestleMania. Holy.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. I told him the world would implode.
You know, all four of them guys would show up in the Royal Rumble. How badass would that be?
I think they're going to hold off. Nakamura's got dates past the Royal Rumble, or right at the Royal Rumble. So I bet you he's going to be like a day after WrestleMania type appearance. That's just me kind of guessing. I think AJ Styles, you will see him in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I think
I've heard he's got
him.
Several dates left too, though.
Yeah, but I think he's got just like a couple more weeks.
Okay.
Rumble's not until the last Sunday.
Next to last Sunday
in January.
The 24th, I believe.
Yeah, and that's going to be – I'm actually excited for the Rumble now, knowing that – there's a chance AJ Styles is going to show up in a WWE ring.
That would be great.
And hope, oh, I cannot wait.
But can you imagine the backlash if none of these new signees show up in the Royal Rumble?
That's fine.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, all the smarks on the internet.
Those
recliner quarterbacks, you know, that have never, you know, been in the business or whatever, or never seen a day in the business. You know, all those guys that constantly are on Cena about, you know, burying people and everything else, all those guys, you know,
the worst internet fans, you know,
well,
possible.
Hold on.
The ones that always come up and be like, hey, you know, this, that, and the other, but, you know, they don't understand how the business works. The ones that I'm saying, you know, not like us, where you've been a part of the business, I've been a part of the business.
I was a part of the business for 5 weeks,
for 5 minutes you were, but you know how it works.
Well, yeah, but... You
know, and your dad was in the business, so...
For 15 minutes, so he's got... He's you know,
there you go.
A little bit longer than I am.
Yeah. Three times more experience than you.
Yeah.
You know, it...
I'm just saying, like, the internet wrestling community would just basically be almost as critical as it was last year.
Well,
you know?
But I think they have the right to be. I don't believe in the whole IWC. Mm-hmm. I think it does not exist because there are people always that have been speculative of the industry, mm-hmm. of the wrestling industry. So whether you were talking about it, the water cooler or tape trading or whatever like that, it's always been there.
Yeah.
That's my whole thought. I don't want to go down that road again because mm-hmm. I got kind of upset about it, I think, on our last recording. But, you know, me and Fred were talking about this. Can you imagine if Twitter was around when they tried to start the NWO?
Oh, God.
It would not have worked.
No.
I mean, Kevin Nash. Yeah, Kevin Nash just signed with the WWE, and you read it on Twitter. And
right.
Shows up on Nitro. It's like, oh, yeah. This is weak.
Yeah.
And you know, I wish they could have kept a little bit of kayfabe with these signings and not had it leaked. Because, like, just imagine you're watching the Royal Rumble and, like, 26 comes out and it's AJ Styles wearing Bullet Club stuff and you're like, what in the fuck is this?
Right.
I mean, yeah.
But WWE's really promoting this now.
Yeah,
they've got on their website talking about, oh, are they coming
is
to WWE?
Is there a possibility?
Yeah.
Well,
what's going on?
They're using like the hashtag Bullet Club and it's
Vince had the shirt.
George pointed out that was Photoshop.
Yeah, it probably was.
It was Photoshop. Still. But still, you know,
but, I mean, the whole, you know, Finn Balor wearing the Bullet Club shirt.
Yeah, then that's cool. And looking at his watch. Yeah. And George says heads would explode if Styles wins the Rumble. Man, there'd be.
Because that means he'd be the champion.
Yeah, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, which is, you know, that actually made me want to watch Raw after hearing, like, they're making the Royal Rumble a heavyweight title match. That is nuts.
Hadn't been done since, I think they said, 92.
And that was and that's kind of different because the title was vacated at the time.
Right.
This guy is actually, Roman Reigns is going to be
defending it, yeah.
His title in the Royal Rumble.
But how long is he going to,
He may be number one. If he's
the way the authority is going,
Well, he's the defending champion, so he should be out there.
Mm-hmm.
He's defending
True.
His title. What do we think? But
possibly number one.
Number one or number two?
Or it's going to be one of those where he has to fight for, you know, that final Raw. He's got like 4 or 5 matches that,
he has
you know,
to run
he's
the
fighting
gauntlet.
For a better number.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? You know what I never got about the Royal Rumble? Everyone makes a big deal about being number one.
Number two is just as
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, number two, you're still you're still in there at the beginning. Like, oh, number one. Number two lasted the whole Royal Rumble.
I mean, okay, if number one didn't have to wrestle anybody for the first 2 minutes and he just got to stay in there, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But two is the same exact thing.
But I'm really excited to see, you know, AJ Styles, I think he's going to go to the main roster. And I'm hoping that with them doing that, the Bullet Club members.
Are they going to make him change his name? Just so they can't reference AJ anymore and CM Punk.
Oh, if that is really what their thoughts, then that is extremely, extremely stupid. George says Roman can't walk out as champion. Absolutely cannot. I mean, Ric Flair, you know, lasted so long in that Rumble, and they like to break records. I could see them doing it with Roman Reigns. You know, the odds are extremely against him, and that's when you really root for an underdog.
Yeah.
And putting him in at number one or number two makes him the biggest underdog in the whole Rumble.
Yeah. But it'd be nice to see him do like a full heel turn and just kind of hang out outside of the ring.
Oh, man. Hide under the ring.
Yeah,
or
just,
something.
You know, do like X-Pac did that 1 year where he just like held himself in the corner where he couldn't get thrown out.
Mm-hmm. Or remember when Chris Nowitzki? One Rumble, he waited for like 5 guys to go in the ring before he did.
Yeah.
That I love that kind of heel maneuver, everything like that. But it's really exciting time. I mean, it may get me watching Raw again. I've taken the past couple of weeks off. I did have to go watch Raw when I heard Jericho came back. I had to go see that spot. And you know, everyone knows, if you know me, I'm a Jericho-holic. Jericho's my guy.
Well, yeah, we've kind of picked up on that.
That promo was stale.
Yeah, all it was, he was, it was going him, back to his...
He was Y2J.
Yeah, his original one, yeah.
You know, when he comes back, I bet you he didn't even like that because he likes to do something different every time he comes back. I mean, you know, when he first debuted, he was Y2J. Then he became, you know, the arrogant heel guy when he won the world or the Undisputed title.
Yeah.
And then he became my favorite when he became the slow-talking bad guy in a suit.
When he came out in the suit,
that,
yeah.
Yeah. That was so awesome. And then, of course, Sparkling Jacket.
Jacket.
The jacket in Memphis. And where did that start? Memphis.
Right here,
Memphis, Tennessee. I was at that show. Mike and his girlfriend were laughing at me because I was marking out. And I got to see Jericho live.
There you go.
But even Jim Ross tweeted or said something in his blog about he doesn't think that Jericho wrote that promo. He was told to do that.
Right. There's no way in hell. I mean, the New Day likes to do things that, what's the word? Probably very retro.
Yeah.
You know, old school. They like to reference that kind of stuff. And I don't know. I see so much. I know Jericho has so much more to offer than just a standard Y2J. Throw in a never ever again. Throw in, you know, the Ayatollah of rock and roll. I mean, when he said that line, it just sounded so robotic.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was like, come on.
And apparently he's coming back his face.
Yeah.
Jericho. After the one show up at, you know, to help Reigns and Ambrose, where he basically did.
He ducked out.
Yeah, he was a heel.
Yeah. And, you know, Jericho's such a better heel than he is a face.
But now just think of the possibility, which is not likely, but him and Nakamura.
Ooh.
That'd be good. I watched another interesting Nakamura match. Have you guys heard of Zack Sabre Jr.?
I have not.
Sounds familiar, but I don't know if I've seen him.
He is a very good wrestler. Chain wrestles, a lot of submissions. He has some good high spots too, but he's just one of those type of guys that works arms over several different ways, transitions to different holds and stuff like that. Just an amazing wrestler, and I highly recommend going out on YouTube. I got turned on to him by another podcaster at Kayfabe Connection. Me and this guy talk all the time about wrestling. Very cool dude. Go follow him on Twitter. I was talking with my buddy Shaggy for the Three Handle Moss Covered Wrestling podcast today, and I want to get him on to give some of his thoughts, but you know, he was giving me some great ideas today things that he thought would do good with the Bullet Club and stuff like that. And I want to get him on because I don't want to steal his stuff. So, but go follow him on Twitter. He's at Shaggy Black at TTHMC Podcast, the Three Handled Moss Covered Wrestling Podcast. Woo!
Woo!
That's a hard to say.
Yeah.
Well, guys, also this weekend, Dan, you went to the Southern Heavyweight Classic.
Yes, I did.
That was put on by Wildfire.
Wildfire Wrestling Southern Heavyweight Classic. And let me pull those notes.
How long was that show?
Quick. Started about...
I think 5:30.
5:30, yeah. Started about 5:30. Ended up not going over 10 o'clock. I was surprised.
Oh, wow.
Ended about 9 o'clock. 9:30, somewhere in there. And, you know, it was... I enjoyed 99% of the show, and the 1% I didn't was the Lucha match again, because I just can't understand Lucha. I'm sorry. I just don't understand it. To give you an example of what happened in the Lucha match at this show, there was a 10 and a 13-year-old kid in masks wrestling, and their partners were adults. I think they were adults. I know one for sure was an adult.
Okay.
The other one I wasn't so sure about because he was just as short as the 10-year-old kid who was his partner. So, you know, I start watching this and I'm like, all right, I'm going to give this a chance. And the longer it went, the longer I just, you know, kind of went, what the hell's going on, you know? The only rule that I really understand at this point of Lucha is that when... One of the
it was a tag team match, so when one guy gets knocked out of the ring, his partner immediately gets into the ring. That's the one rule that I do understand about Lucha.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know if you guys knew that or not.
I didn't even know that.
It's like they're doing, they're flipping, they're flying and whatever, and if you kick one of the guys out of the ring and he falls out of the ring, his partner immediately has to get in and take his place. That's tag team Lucha.
Okay.
That's the one rule I've understood since however long I've understood that rule of Lucha. So I don't know. That's just the one rule that's stuck in my head, you know. That's the only rule I understand. Now, keeping in mind that the ref was not Spanish, he was Richard Devon. He was one of the Wildfire referees. He doesn't speak a word of Spanish. And he was kind of just throwing his hands up in the air going, what the fuck, the whole time. You know? But anyway, I'll start out with, let's see. Let me get to the top of the card here. Okay, we had the usual starter, the Josh Crow versus Dazzler.
I bet, and get the crowd started off right.
Yeah, usual fantastic match between these two. Crow over with a reverse scoop slam into a pile driver, which is one of the most awesome things I've ever seen. It was basically, I'm trying to think how to put it. Yeah. I see you over there kind of miming the motion.
Think
like, okay, you're going to give a guy a body slam, but he's facing the other direction.
Okay, so you've got him here.
He's facing that way, right?
Right. His head's
well, then down. You bring him to here, and then you put him in pile driver position and go down with him.
Huh. Wow.
And he did it quick, and it was a badass move. And that got over with me, so... that was the way he put away Dazzler.
How many people were there?
You know, I'd say between 100 and 150. It wasn't a small crowd.
That's a good turnout.
Nice. Yeah, it was a good turnout. It wasn't a small crowd. You know, and I have heard some people say that it wasn't a good show, and I was just like, no, it was a good show. Had a good turnout. Who told you that? You know, so I don't know where that came from, but. Let's see. They had Redrick Red Rum versus Johnny Dotson. Johnny Dotson was a no-show, so he got counted out. Basher Brody. Josephus is another name for Basher Brody. I got to wrestle Josephus in Ripley, Tennessee, of course.
Of course.
Where else? We don't even have to say that anymore.
That's right. It's automatically Ripley, Tennessee if it happened, you know, unless we specify elsewhere.
Yeah. Shout out to SPWA out in Ripley, Tennessee.
Yeah, SPWA is actually in Raymer, but nice try.
Close enough.
But this guy resembles Bruiser Brody from head to toe. Literally resembles him. If you ever get to meet him in person, he resembles Bruiser Brody from head to toe. And he's a totally awesome guy. It works, you know. But his opponent was Jerry Lawler. And Lawler by DQ, Brody hits the ref. Nothing flashy, lots of punches here. Lawler bumping like crazy, putting Brody over, though, which really surprised me.
Nice.
Let's see. Next one was Derek King.
Eric, by God greater King. Than great King.
Yeah, all that. Derek King versus Antonio Garza had a long ass intro.
Of course, it wouldn't be. That's what you expect from a Derek King match.
Well, I think it was back and forth between Derek and Antonio, kind of cutting promos for a minute, and Antonio trying to get over with the Latino crowd, you know,
because
he was speaking Spanish and I didn't understand a word of it. So good back and forth match between him and Garza went over with a moonsault. He beat Derek. So
Derek, by God, greater than great King.
Yeah. Then there was R&D versus Maverick. American Gladiator
Brackus from. Best of the best, too.
Yeah, right.
He looks just like Brackus, man.
And Maverick actually is going into bodybuilding, so he's really leaning up and everything. He looks awesome.
I think you can make like a video of Maverick walking to the ring, and you could do the whole Vince McMahon, you know, when they take the footage from him from Torrey Wilson walking to the ring where he's like – Start slowly and slowly.
Start
smiling more and more, then falls out of his chair. He is totally like a Vince McMahon build type of guy.
Oh yeah,
just
oh,
a
yeah.
big muscular dude.
But R&D versus Maverick, it was kind of messy.
Yeah,
wasn't really.
Well, Maverick's still a little green, isn't he?
No, Maverick spent time in Japan.
Wow.
Yeah, he spent time in Japan training and stuff. So I don't know. I don't know if these guys just didn't click or what happened.
Which happens.
But it was kind of messy. But R&D over with a chair shot to the back while the ref was distracted by Devin Nicole.
And that's exactly how someone should, like R&D should win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfect booking.
Bishop Cage versus Action Jackson. This was the match of the night.
I love watching.
Know both of these guys. I've wrestled both of these guys. These guys are awesome performers. I have never seen Bishop Cage look better than he did that night.
I love watching Action Jackson work.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
Did Action Jackson do the what are those?
Yes.
Yes.
He did.
Yes. We've got to get action. We got to get action on this show.
Yeah, we do. Match of the night so far, Jackson over with a blockbuster off the top.
Nice.
Then we had Precious.
Oh, Lord.
Versus Grandmaster Sexy.
Oh, my God.
Brian
oh,
Christopher.
Lord. That had to be something.
Started off with a wedgie to Precious.
Ouch! Ouch!
And you know I made a note of that because it kind of stood out, you know? So. great entertainment match, great entertainment quality during the whole thing, you know, and Brian over with the hip-hop drop, the leg drop from the top rope. So.
I'm glad he's still able to use that one and not disintegrate anytime he hits it.
Yeah, I know. Komodo versus Hijo de Fishman. This was Komodo was dressed in kind of a ninja outfit. I'm not exactly sure who he was, but Hijo de Fishman was one of the luchadors.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys worked incredibly well together, for me not knowing either one of them.
Yeah.
You know, I was very incredibly surprised. Fishman over with a T-bone suplex, and I made sure and made note that these guys worked very well together again. So, yeah, they were clicking and they were going. The next one was Josh Crow versus Jerry Lawler. This was in the round two.
Okay.
Lawler over. This was a two-minute match. Crow somehow ended up, and I don't think I was paying attention long enough to actually figure out what exactly happened during this match. I actually had to ask somebody else. Lawler over. This was a two-minute match. Crow dove off the top with his helmet on, and he missed, and Lawler covered him for the three.
Wow. Okay. The all-star, the all-pro, Josh Crow.
Yeah. And then the lucha match happened. Two masked kids in this match. One was 10, the other 13. Once again, I'm reading directly from my notes. Once again, the psychology is lost on me. I don't understand lucha. I'm lost. It went 34 minutes. Oi.
Oh, damn.
So I take it you're not going to be watching Lucha Underground.
I like Lucha Underground. I've watched Lucha Underground. This ain't Lucha Underground.
Season 2 starts up this month. I can't wait.
Yeah. But the one that stood out in my mind, because I actually wanted to hear the reaction backstage, so I walked backstage, and Brian Christopher's right there on the other side of the curtain, and first thing he says, "What the fuck? You guys went 34 minutes!" And I was like, okay, yeah, if anybody's going to holler at him, it needs to be Brian, yeah. So, anyway, let's see. Next one was Red Rick Red Rum versus Antonio Garza. Antonio over by DQ. It was a pretty quick match. I think Antonio went for something off the second rope. And Red Rick caught him basically in a chokehold and slammed him down straight, kind of like almost like that Russian sickle type choke, you know, where he catches him standing up and just plows him to the ground, you know. He didn't let go and got counted out, so
right. That
was a DQ finish there. Then we had Fishman versus Action Jackson.
Everybody, when I say action, you say Jackson. Action.
Jackson.
Action.
Fishman. Jackson.
I like the other guy.
You're not funny.
Well, you would be okay because Fishman actually won the match.
I just want to give Action Jackson some love.
Yeah,
I liked him when I saw him.
Yeah, he's really cool. But no, this was a great match. You know, of course, the crowd was with Fishman because the crowd was primarily Latino. So then we had R&D versus Jerry Lawler. R&D over Lawler. Josh Crow hits Lawler with his helmet while Lawler has Raphael up for the pile driver, and Devin has the ref distracted. So, and you know, he just covered him right after he hit him with the helmet. So, let's see, Antonio Garza versus Hijo de Fishman. Garza over by pin. This was a good match. Good match. Final saw R&D versus Antonio Garza. Raphael attacking the leg most of the match. The end saw Raphael try to hit Garza with brass knuckles, only to be stopped by Grandmaster Sexay and get hit with the knucks by him. Garza pins Raphael to a huge pop from the crowd. Garza is the new Southern Heavyweight Champ.
Well, congratulations, nice. Antonio Garza. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a hell of a show.
Yeah,
it was the last Bucks game of the year.
You know,
and as much as the Buccaneers depress me so often,
had to be there.
I had to.
Had to be there for the Bucks.
The off season is now over.
Mm-hmm.
I have no football commitments, no sports commitments.
So now you can go to shows.
Now, if there's Sunday afternoon shows,
yeah,
I can.
There we go.
I can still go to MEW.
There you go.
MEW is my. Everyone knows
it's your go-to.
That's my place. You've got to come to. There's one next Friday. You're going.
Maybe.
No.
Maybe.
No, bro. You're going. It's good.
If there's not a basketball game, he's going.
Is there a Grizzlies game next Friday?
Not next Friday. No.
Okay.
Basically, starting tomorrow, I have 6 straight Grizzlies games every other day for the next week and a half.
Ugh.
Dang.
You know, SmackDown started their new run on.
USA
tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm still not watching it.
Because we're doing this. This is more important.
We don't even
have the TV on in the back without the sound.
Yeah. Well, I think right now I can't because of our network.
I can't
setup.
Watch it like a second
would,
grade. I can't watch
just
the
be
second.
Starting, yeah.
I can't watch the B show. You
well,
know?
Actually.
I can't even watch the B show without audio.
You know, it'd be interesting to watch SmackDown to see how much they use the new stable they created. On SmackDown, I have a feeling
it's social outcast.
I think it's a great idea.
I don't know. I think I hope they don't like overstable everything. You know, they've got so many people on the main roster that they're creating these stables now. And now you have the League of Nations, and you got the social outcasts, and you know you're not creating any. You know, you're not creating any face factions.
You're getting the Bullet Club.
Yeah,
you got the Wyatt family.
Right. You got Wyatt family, and there's a rumor that there's a female Wyatt family member coming still.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
You know who I'd like to see join the Bullet Club?
Who's that?
Becky Lynch.
That would be very cool.
Nice.
George in the chat room says, #, give jobbers a chance.
Give jobbers a chance.
And he also
said, Al Snow.
He said, hopefully Axel makes it to the ring this year in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, God. He still hasn't been eliminated.
Yeah.
Oh, God, not that shit again. John Cena is out 6 to 8 months following shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, I think the WWE knew ahead of time that they needed to do something big. And before John Cena announced it, they probably looked and like, we need to get somebody in here.
Right.
Good.
To add some. I mean, where can they go for Mania now that, you know, their biggest.
And, you know, I feel bad for just about every guy in the training center in NXT right now. I really do, because instead of them actually growing and nurturing talent and putting people out there that they've marketed, they're buying up stars from other federations.
Mm-hmm.
Come on over, man.
Well,
we need you. Come on over.
You know, there are certain exceptions. I mean, Doc Gallows has wrestled before in the WWE.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And I'm not taking anything away from the guys they bought.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, how bad is it when you don't have faith in your own product?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, you always want to be acquiring new talent.
Yeah.
You need fresh faces.
Yes. You need fresh faces. But they constantly have a revolving door of people coming into the training center.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, you know, they put their money into people just to keep them into NXT. They put their money into people just to keep them on the main roster. They're not growing people, you know?
Right.
I mean, like, Neville, he's made it to the main roster.
what have they done with him since, though?
Kind of like
he's a more, he won a Slammy.
A more recent, a more
thank God he won a Slammy.
A know? More recent example of that is Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze too, yeah.
They,
you know,
he was the king of NXT for a while, and they brought him up, and he's just kind of there.
There was a couple other guys too. The Ascension,
yeah.
We're passing. I mean, it's been a month or two since I brought up the Ascension.
You guys get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Though,
oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, like,
yeah.
the way like a normal job works, you train and you, and I'll tell you the way my job works. Okay. Let me just put my job into perspective and I'll compare it to the WWE right now. Okay. I've been doing my job for 15 years. There is probably a 5 to 6 year learning curve on what I do before I would expect anybody to catch on and be like, all right, yeah, I can do this without you standing over me, you know?
Right.
Or without having to call you every 5 minutes to ask, okay, what's the next step? You know? There's a 5 to 6 learning curve on that, okay? So after that 5 to 6 year learning curve, you either have it or you don't. You know?
Yeah.
So at 7 years, if you're still calling me and asking me, how do I do this? How I do that? How I do that? I'm thinking you don't need to be doing this job anymore. Right?
Right.
Compare that to WWE. You know, put that in comparison to what they do at the Performance Center and everything. Freaking Tyler Breeze, he floundered so long. You know, and changed gimmicks and did this and tried different things and everything. He was like a 8 or 9 year veteran or something like that, I think, was what they described him as on Breaking Ground. Hmm. You know, he's been there for 8 or 9 years, you know, just constantly trying different things.
Right.
And trying to get over with the guys in the back in NXT. He's over with the crowd.
Yeah.
He's over with the crowd. He has nothing else to do to get over with the crowd. But getting over with the guys in the back and getting that support from the office just seems to be like, you know.
Well, and, you know, another good example of that is Solomon Crowe.
Exactly.
Extremely talented, had a high energy style, great wrestler, you know, big moves, and everything you can ask for, had great personality. I think he could cut promos, but he was handicapped by NXT because it's like, well, what do we do with this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Put him in the ring and let him do what he does best.
Right. He's a wrestler. How about you let him wrestle?
You know, it's good for him that he got his release because now he can go wrestle.
And he pointed it. I think I saw an article where he was asked that, and he pointed out, he's like, I could make a whole lot more money than I'm making now just on the independent scene.
Right, because people want to see him.
Right. You know? Ring of Honor, I'm sure, scooped him up in no time.
He's going to be wrestling. I think he's going to be doing some stuff with PWG and some other. I think he's going a lot more out west.
Okay. So. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you go in there and you have guys that are just all stars, and then you make them into stars in NXT. You put them on the main roster and, they might as well be the cigarette butt on the floor now.
Right.
And George in the chat room says this, I fear that Vince won't see that Balor could do more for WWE than Roman can.
Yeah.
And it's the same fear for anyone that gets called up. You know,
and I've seen this take over too lately. Daniel Bryan saying that his doctors have cleared him, but WWE doctors won't clear him.
Yeah.
And he started a hashtag about clear Daniel Bryan or something like that. You know, and I don't know if that's a storyline or a work or whatever. I always say everything's a work in wrestling.
Yeah. But speaking of like injuries, I read something interesting. Every superstar that left WrestleMania last year as the champion
is
currently injured.
Yes.
Crazy.
Every single one of them.
Yep.
Everyone.
Yep. It's nuts. You know, look at the difference between women's wrestling in NXT and women's wrestling on the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
Bayley and Sasha go down SummerSlam weekend and beat SummerSlam by that match itself.
Right.
And yet Sasha gets on the main roster and Vince is like, what? What am I supposed to do with this chick? She doesn't know what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
People want to see Charlotte and Nikki Bella.
You know, if I didn't know any better, I would think that there's somebody in the main office that's trying to crap all over NXT. If I didn't,
I know who
if
I already know who that person
I,
is.
I know.
It's Kevin fucking Dunn.
God damn it!
I mean that kills me too, because I mean, like, who's the main proprietor of NXT? It's Triple H. You know why would you want to crap all over NXT and crap all over something like the boss's son-in-law is doing?
I guarantee you, Vince has probably watched maybe two or three episodes of NXT.
Mm-hmm.
If he would watch that show week to week, he'd probably realize, like, oh, this is what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, it sucks. I mean, people like Baron Corbin, who I think, like, if put in the right situation on the main roster, he's going to be great.
Yeah.
He needs to, I'm torn between, should he be muscle for a stable or just be a lone wolf heel? What do you think?
He looks better as a lone wolf.
Yeah, he's a dick.
Yeah.
If you watch Breaking Ground,
yeah,
he's a dick.
Yeah.
Let him be that dick. Make him be the big dick that comes in
big
and
dick.
Just big. Big Dick Johnson.
I think you just
know, and that's what kind of worries me.
I think you just made his gimmick.
Yeah.
For the main roster. It's no longer Baron Corbin, it's Big Dick Johnson.
And you know, another thing that worries me is they're gonna bring in Nakamura. And, you know, what kind of, are they going to make him fucking Raiden from Mortal Kombat? Like, come in with the little straw triangle hat and, you know, come in and throw.
I would get behind that.
I would do.
But it just worries you because Vince is.
He'll buy the Sub-Zero gear from Glacier and put him in that shit.
Oh, God. But it just worries you because that, you know, Vince thinks that he knows what we want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what we don't.
He doesn't fully get behind something he didn't create.
Well, exactly. I mean, you can tell that by all the women's wrestlers, like going back to women's wrestlers and NXT and the Divas, and
you gotta. There's not a single thing you can convince me that says that Divas Slammy wasn't rigged.
Oh, yeah.
Did it?
Freaking Nikki Bella winning Diva Slammy for the year.
Yeah, we talked about that.
I don't have a problem if it's rigged. Mm-hmm. My problem was, like, if it's not rigged, that's fine. Don't say it's based off a fan vote.
Mm-hmm. Because there's no way that was based off
a
fan vote.
There's
no.
I can guarantee it. That's going to get me fired up again.
This is what I do.
But, it just worries me.
Oh, by the way, my watching partner for the whole Southern Heavyweight Classic show was Chris Lex. He sat next to me
awesome.
The whole show.
That is awesome, man. Chris is such a good
guy,
man.
Me and Chris sat and critiqued the whole show. We were just kind of making fun of it the whole time.
Did he mention me at all?
I hope nobody, like, overheard us making fun of it, because it was actually quite funny. But, you know, they put on a great show, don't get me wrong. But we can watch it and make fun of it because we're workers. So.
We're the business. Yeah.
Did he mention me at all?
No, I didn't ask him about you, so he didn't mention you.
He probably really doesn't even know who I am.
Wipe the tear from your eye.
That's
well,
right.
Cause
it's, it's okay.
You know, I like to, sometimes I'll go back and talk
to him.
Want
me to get an autograph and bring it to you for him?
No. I'll go. At MEW, he's good about, like, I'm not trying to be Mr. Hanging Out with the Wrestlers guy, but I'll go behind the shit, you know.
Yeah.
Darius let me.
Yeah.
He's fine with it.
As long as he's cool with it.
Yeah, and I went and shook his hand and asked how he's doing.
That's
why
I brought you back there when I was there. So, you know.
Yeah, and I got to take a picture with you guys.
That way I was like, hey, this is podcast guy, guys.
Yeah.
This guy y'all are talking to.
Yeah. Well, let's take. Go ahead.
Apparently, Sasha Banks is out of action with an undisclosed injury.
Son of a bitch.
That's what George said in the chat room, and now Sasha is hurt, so who knows what they'll do with her.
Her last match back on the 28th. Of Raw with a win over Becky Lynch. No timetable was given on her return.
Well, heal quickly. Heal quickly and correctly, Sasha, because, you know, do you even notice my shirt?
Yeah.
I'm wearing my Sasha Banks shirt. So, but we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk MEW and do some other fun stuff. Stick around. This is the Oversell Podcast. Welcome back to the Oversell Podcast. Be sure you are following us on Twitter. We are at Oversell Podcast. I am at Shrupnuts, SCHREPNUTS.
I am at One Dangerous Dan, and I'm also on Facebook, Dangerous Dan Matthews.
At WolfMike23.
Also, head over to the Facebook group, or Facebook page, facebook.com/OversellPodcast. The website is OversellPodcast.com. If you visit oversellpodcast.com, take a few minutes out, check out the Amazon link right below the main player, and shop, shop, shop.
Go buy stuff.
Go buy stuff. There are no hidden fees. There's no extra fees, anything like that. It's just anything we sell on the Amazon page, we get a small kickback. You know, help us get some more stuff for this podcast, more mics and stuff like that.
I mean, not a mic to replace me, but, you know,
maybe
microphone.
If we can find a nice mic.
We can get two or three mics.
A nice Michael.
We can have more
Amazon.
Than one mic.
Yeah. you can buy us in bulk.
Yeah.
So this weekend, MEW had their Wrestlution. Their first show is on New Year's Day. Fantastic show, mm-hmm. as always. You know, I don't think I could ever be at a bad MEW show. I say that, but I'm pretty sure that roster is so talented
mm-hmm.
that they have over there. Opening match was Duke Warfield, who will be on the show.
We know that guy.
Warfield! He'll be on the show.
I know
later
what he said
month.
During his promo.
Yeah, that's. But he came out and he wrestled Addison Cade.
Mm-hmm.
Addison Cade is a big old boy. Have you seen this guy?
I'd probably recognize him if I saw him.
Big old boy.
Mm-hmm.
They had a great match. You know, Duke is just one of the. I love watching Duke wrestle because he's just like a fundamentals guy. You know, he comes in. You know, he's tough.
Mm-hmm.
He's just clean with his moves. And stuff like that. They put on a hell of a match. Duke went over, and we got to hear Warfield a lot.
There you go.
And with the effect, it's Warfield. Maybe I can record that for his entrance music.
Maybe.
Who else wrestled that night? Austin Lane and Del Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Great match, huh?
Hell of a match. Austin Lane comes out, and, you know, first they had a little confrontation. They had the Power Rangers
mm-hmm.
at MEW. And while the Power Rangers are out in the ring posing and doing stuff like that, Del Tucker comes to the ring. And, you know, as soon as he comes out, they start, Tucker sucks, or mm-hmm. you suck, Tucker. It's so funny. How quick he gets heat.
Oh, yeah.
Without even having to open his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So he cuts a promo, and, you know, he looks at these Power Rangers like, you're a little bit smaller than when I watched y'all on TV. Mm-hmm. You know, this is crap. Well, Austin Lane comes out exactly like he's going to cut a promo, and he just hits Del Tucker with the mic.
Uh-huh.
And afterwards, he, you know, throws me a too sweet. And, yeah, that was that. And then later they had a match, and... You know, when Austin came out, he's walking through the crowd, and he gets to me, and, you know, we throw too sweet to each other, and he just goes, time to steal the show.
Yeah.
And did they.
Yeah.
It was Austin was, like, just transitioning move for move, you know, trying to get Del Tucker to tap. Del was keeping pace with him. I mean, it's just wrestling, and it was awesome. And Tucker, during the whole time, was getting heat. You know, they did the bit where each of them are running ropes.
Yeah.
Austin slides out of the ring, goes, sits next to a little lady in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And Del Tucker's running. He keeps running, not realizing Austin's out. And then he's like, hey, wait a minute. And he looks at, what are you doing? Get mm-hmm. back in here.
Yep.
Austin plants one on the girl he was sitting next to and runs back into the ring. And you know, they just put on a clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Clinic. Stole the show. No, and that's not a detriment to anyone on that show because every match is great. This match just was off the chain.
Yeah.
I mean, because Austin...
And that comes from Dell and Austin working each other over the years multiple times.
Right, right.
Multiple times.
And I mean, Austin is just awesome. It sucks that he has not gotten a run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he had a chance. He wrestled a couple of TNA, like, house shows.
Yeah. Well, they wanted him to be a part of TNA when it first started up, but it meant him moving to Nashville.
And mm-hmm. He didn't want to do that. Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm glad he didn't because I love seeing him. Anytime I get to see Austin Lane mm-hmm. wrestle, it's a treat. And I'm really glad I got to see him wrestle at MEW, man. Just watching him chain wrestle is just great. Moving from submission to submission and submission and submission. Del Tucker ended up going over, mm-hmm. making Austin tap, but it was a hell of a match. Stole the show.
Was it a submission match?
No. It was just a normal match.
Huh.
But they were just – that's just the way Austin wrestles, man.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the guy. I love watching Austin Lane wrestle.
I love watching him, too. I need to make it out there one time when I know he's going to be there.
Yeah. Their next show is next Friday, January 15th, mm-hmm. 8 p.m. bell time, out there at 4050 North Watkins. Mike's coming with me.
Yay!
If I had me
or the new one that you're gonna buy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you don't, I'm buying the new mic.
We'll take the three pack with us. Yeah.
No, Jade Haven, who is a 16-year-old wrestler, had a match with Nikki Lane, Austin's mm-hmm. wife.
Mm-hmm.
Very good match. You know, you can tell she's a little green, but I think she sells. Like $1 million. I mean, when she gets hit, she brings a lot of sympathy in
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. But solid match from both ladies. Derek King came out at the beginning of the show and got into a program with Full Deck. And Full Deck, you know, Alan Steele wasn't there, his tag team partner. And Derek King's cutting a promo, and he says, the next person that comes out from that curtain – I will use as my tag team partner. It can be, I don't care who it is.
Mm-hmm.
I do not care what person comes out of that locker room. I will use them as my tag team partner. And, you know, there's a lot of silence for a bit, and Full Deck, you know, is yucking it up. I mean, Full Deck is just such an amazing tag team. I don't know what it is about those guys.
Yeah.
But they're just a draw.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great heels. You know, they really make you hate their guts, but there's just something about these guys
mm-hmm.
that just makes you want to see them get their butts kicked.
Yeah.
So.
It's called being a heel.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's called.
Doing your job.
It's called being a really, really, really good heel. So, like I said, Derek King comes out, and, you know, he's doing his typical long-winded promo, just like Derek King does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had to throw his own name in there. I'm Derek, by God, greater than great King.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how many times?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, yeah, when his music comes on, it takes him 15 minutes to 15, come out.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is Derek King.
I have to laugh.
So he asked
that.
For his tag team partner, and you hear this.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back at me. Ah. And, you know, instantly that music hits. The crowd is off their feet. We're all chanting, pow, pow, pow. Chris Lex comes out. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, Derek King has the look on his face of really that. And so it sets up later in the night, Full Deck, Derek King, and Chris Lex. And there's the one thing Derek had to do was kiss the boots of Chris Lex to get him to be his tag partner. And he did it.
Wow.
Derek King kissed the boots of Chris Lex, and the funniest bit in it, people started pulling out their cell phones to take pictures, and he was like, push your phones down! Don't you dare take a picture!
Uh-huh.
Put your phone... Brandon the Chosen One Myers,
yeah.
or T.A. Myers, mm-hmm. or whatever his name is, he would talk on the mic, and Derek King would just turn around, shut up!
Yeah.
So he kissed the boots. We had that. That was our main event. Darius Lee, Tattoo,
mm-hmm.
is a heel now.
Yeah.
He turned on Reno after they lost to Full Deck.
As soon as they got split up, I figured that was coming.
He turned on him at the last show. I didn't get to see the last show, but I've heard. And he came out, cut a promo about why he did what he did. And he had a match with Kevin Grimes, and he went over.
Mm-hmm.
And Darius Tattoo, man, I love his style, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more faster paced. A little more flying, you know, Hurricane Rana's. I love watching Tattoo wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
Cool guy, great match. Him and Kevin Crime?
Nick Grimes, maybe?
Nick Grimes?
I've wrestled a Nick Grimes before.
Describe him.
Bearded, heavy set.
No, this guy was about probably about Mike's build. Maybe a little shorter.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay. I'll have to, maybe
I'll see a picture of him or something.
Yeah, I want to say it was Kevin Crime. Or something like that. It's a guy he's had some history with.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But that got to the main event. It was Full Deck, and it was Derek King and Chris Lex. And Derek King comes out, or Full Deck comes out first. Are we ready? Are we? And like, I think they messed up their entrance music and they came out and then they accidentally restarted it. So they threw their hands up in the air and they went back to the curtain and came back out at their right mark. So then Derek King comes out and, you know, 3 minutes into his music, we had to wait for him to come out of the curtain and then come out and waited for his cue to jump on the top rope and put his arms up in the air and, you know, typical Derek King stuff, which I'm not, you know, I'm just giving Derek King a hard time because, you know, he's one of the best in Memphis.
Yeah.
I think.
He's hilarious, too.
Yeah, he's a funny guy backstage. Yeah. So then Chris Lex comes out, and they have a great match.
Derek's hair dyed blonde at the time?
No, he's done.
He came to Wildfire like that, and I was like, that's like the first time I've ever seen you without blonde hair.
Well, I think, like, I can remember back when he was Mr. Personalities, even before then he didn't have the blonde hair. Even then, he didn't have it then.
He said people were actually kidding him about, you know, oh, we're back to the Mr. Personalities gimmick now? Because he didn't have the blonde hair anymore. So, yeah.
But they had this match, and I mean, like, both Derek and Chris took some butt kickings, you know, dished a little bit out. Mm-hmm. But eventually, Derek's in the ring just getting whipped around left and right, right and left, right and left, and left and right. And he goes to tag Chris Lex, and Chris Lex drops off the apron.
Mm-hmm.
Just gives him a little wave. Just walks to the back. And while he's doing that, Derek King is just looking into the curtain like, what the hell? What turnaround? And then he gets hit with Full Deck's finisher, and that was all she wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
What is Full Deck's finisher?
You would ask me that.
Of course I would.
I think it was like a double choke slam or something along those lines. I got to start taking notes when I go to these shows because I don't take notes because like I'm too busy marking out because I'll have so much fun at the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of it off memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, I'll tell you what I do. I open up the memo pad on my phone.
Yeah.
And I wait till the match is over. I think of like the top three things in my head, and I'm like, okay, and that's pretty much it.
Mike's going to do that at the next MEW show.
There you go.
That's what I did at the Wildfire show.
But you'll do that at MEW next Friday. I think Josh McClain may come out with me too.
That'd be cool.
You get to meet Josh McClain if you come out.
Yay!
Yeah, Josh McClain's awesome.
I concur. So. And I've never met him.
Well, another. another great MEW show. Like I said, I'll be back. I love that show.
Glad to hear it.
The only thing I would change.
You know, I would really like to go and see one of the SGWA shows in South Haven.
Yeah, I'd like to see one of those too because Alan
works. I think they're on Saturdays.
Yeah, Alan works for them.
Yeah, yeah. Again, that Bill Dundee.
And I think Judas the Beast does works for them.
Yeah.
And Josh McClain will come out and manage them.
Yeah.
I need that's who I need to see in Memphis wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see Judas because I hear he is just fucking awesome.
Oh, he's a beast, man. He's a total beast. He's crazy. He's comes out with these chains, and I think he's got a wooden cross that's in the chains and stuff, and it's pretty cool.
And I also want to get to Okolona.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2 hours away.
I don't know. I'm not crazy about driving down that far in Mississippi.
Well, there's probably one thing going on in Okolona once a month.
And that's the wrestling.
That's the wrestling. It's safe to go down there then. But I really want to check out the Okolona show because I hear it's just another top quality tearing the house down. Oh, I almost forgot about a match.
I don't. Oh.
At MEW. Okay. Brandon Espinoza,
mm-hmm.
who is another great heel.
Yeah.
Another great worker. Just an amazing wrestler. Gets perfect heat.
Mm-hmm.
He wrestles 3G Eric Wayne.
Oh, nice. I bet that was a good match.
It's funny. They kind of had, I guess, I've never seen this ref in MEW before. And I guess he was kind of green.
Yeah.
So Eric has Espinoza in a headlock.
Mm-hmm.
Espinoza tries to shuck him off. And Eric grabs his beard. And keeps a hold of him.
Yeah.
And then puts him back in a chokehold. And he does this like 3 or 4 times, and the ref doesn't say anything. So you hear Eric. He goes, I like this ref. I can get away with anything.
Yeah.
So then he turns around and finally the ref starts counting. But they put on, it was another clinic, man. I think Espinoza went over.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eric Wayne got in, and, you know, he was kind of neutral. For the mat, not really a face, mm-hmm. not really a heel.
Yeah.
Cut a promo and became heel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, cut a promo on them saying, you know, you came to see me. And it was a good solid heel promo.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about how they didn't give Buddy Wayne a 10-bell salute to start the show. Mm-hmm. And like I told you guys, I kind of, you know, Buddy Wayne is so influential in Memphis wrestling.
He was, and I did. I got to go to his visitation yesterday and his funeral today. I missed about half the funeral because I had to drive to Lexington, Tennessee early this morning. But I drove back from Lexington and got there in time to see like the second half of the funeral ceremony and everything. I missed Eric's speech. Eric got up and talked. I got there in the middle of his son Greg, who he wrestled for a little bit, didn't wrestle for a whole long time, but got there in the middle of Greg talking, and fortunately got to see Ken talk, because Ken went up, down, all over the roads with him and everything. Basically grew up in the wrestling business as a result of Buddy being in the wrestling business.
And I saw a video, and this was really cool. Mm-hmm. And I think Eric posted it. And it was Buddy Wayne and Tommy Gilbert cutting promos on each other.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Eddie was out with Tommy.
Yeah.
And Ken came out.
Yeah.
And attacked him.
And it was when Eddie and Ken were just
they looked
snot-nosed
like,
punks,
they,
man.
Yeah, man.
They
yeah.
were. They
Probably
were
16,
they were,
17, 18 years old.
They were twigs.
Yeah.
You know?
And it was just so cool seeing that young Eddie Gilbert, man, with a head full of blonde hair looking like one of the Bad News Bears.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was really cool. And,
yeah. And you know, we all got to talking after the funeral and everything, and you know, I got to say, it was really cool because, like, it was almost like time flashed backwards to, like, 5-6 years ago when we were all in the wrestling school together and we were just all sharing stories and everything. And we went and ate lunch together and everything this afternoon. And it was just so cool, you know, just being able to see everybody. Nichols was there. Knuckles Madsen.
Oh, Knuckles came. Yeah, Nichols, good.
He came into town from Rogers, Arkansas. Hopped right back on the road to Rogers, Arkansas as soon as we got done eating lunch and everything. So
yeah, we've got to get Nichols on the show.
Yeah,
we do. I want him on this month.
Okay, I'll work on it.
We've got a guest the 21st and the 28th.
Okay, so I'll work on that. But you know, it was just really cool. You know, catching up with everybody and you know I hadn't seen anybody in probably 2 years, and you know I get into the parking lot, and for the visitation, I immediately get recognized by Randy Hales and Bill Dundee walking into the visitation, you know. So I get to walk into the visitation with Randy Hales and Bill Dundee, you know. I get to the funeral today, and as I'm in the parking lot, here comes Kevin White and Brian Christopher getting out of their cars. And I'm walking into the funeral with Kevin White and Brian Christopher this afternoon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, you know, and everybody knows me. Everybody's like, and I'm just kind of like, wow. You know, it's kind of funny because like 8, 9, 10 years ago, if you'd have told me that all these people would know me and know who I am and know that I'm a worker and know that I'm a good professional wrestler and everything. It's like, oh, yeah, that's Dan. He worked for Ken and everything. So,
well, we should have done this to open up the show. Let's do a quick moment of silence just to in honor of Buddy Wayne.
Okay.
Rest in peace, Buddy Wayne. You've left a legacy here in Memphis wrestling.
Yeah. And Mario Walinda was his wrestling trainer. I didn't know that. And the Walindas were like really, really well known back in the day, and I got to see a ton of old pictures of Buddy wrestling. It was so cool, black and white pictures and stuff.
Do you know around what year that they were?
Crap. You would ask me that, wouldn't you?
I would.
He got you back for earlier.
It would have to be in the '70s. When do you know the date on that clip that?
I didn't pay attention to
it. I think my phone's dead now. I can't look it up.
Because it'd be cool to find a Memphis wrestling moment.
Find a card on there, yeah. But no, you know, it was so cool. And one picture that stood out to me was Jackie Fargo, an older Jackie Fargo with an older Buddy Wayne, you know, kind of in the same picture together. And I was like, man, you know, they're wrestling right now.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like, God, man, if there's wrestling in heaven, they're definitely doing it.
Yep. Let's see. I'm just going through dates here. So we got to get in touch with Mark James and get him on here.
Yeah.
I think what I want to do with him is instead of just like having a whole history of wrestling thing, to start off for listeners that don't go, I want to get him on and we're going to do a look back to Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman, the whole feud.
That'd be cool.
I think we could do maybe an episode or two.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Of that, because that was, you know, that brought in.
I'll tell you a joke that I thought was really cool. Because Buddy actually knew he was dying, you know, so he actually planned out a little bit of his funeral, and he told Ken he wanted him to tell this at his funeral. He said I had a dream the other night that Don Fargo came to me and he said Don, is there wrestling in heaven? And Don says, yep, and you're on the main event Saturday night. So I thought that was pretty cool.
You know, I'm back in 73. Yeah, there's just so many to look through here. On here, let's see. I wonder if I could.
And I do. I got to look at all those pictures and everything. It was just incredible seeing Buddy, you know, the history of wrestling that he had, you know. And he was a military man, too.
Yeah.
He got a little bit of a military funeral, and he will be buried in the West Tennessee Veterans Cemetery.
That's awesome.
Tomorrow.
Eric Wayne went to Bolton High School. Huh. I went to Bolton High School. I wonder what year he graduated. Let's see.
A little bit younger than you are.
Steel. Let's see.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking to see... trying to find that video.
Oh, you're trying to find the video clip.
Yeah. Okay. I may edit some of this stuff out, or I may just leave it because it's more real. Let's see, 1980. That was CWA, so that's
pretty good. Yeah, it was CWA. 1980. Look for a date from 1980.
Billy Robinson. Oh man, there's a lot of.
But I'm trying to think of who.
It's like there's just not that much wrestling in Memphis.
Yeah, really.
There's only just, you know, 300 pages of it.
300 pages.
I just found a video from June of 79.
June of 79. That helps.
But I mean, yeah. But I mean, this was.
I will find you in here, Buddy Wayne.
We're going to find him.
This was the Memphis Wrestling Family Feud. This was Tommy and Eddie Gilbert versus Buddy and Ken Wayne.
Yep, that's it. Was that the one they handcuffed Tommy to the outside of the ring and then beat up on Eddie in the ring?
I do not know. I'd have to watch the video.
I found it. Okay, here's our wrestling moment. I think you found it. July, we're going to, in honor of Buddy Wayne and Ken Wayne and for Eric Wayne, this Memphis wrestling moment, I'm glad we got to find this. This was July 2nd, 1979. We always go from the bottom to the top. Hans Schroeder and the Gestapo versus Dallas Montgomery and Steve Regal. Pete Austin versus Randy Tyler. Ron Bass versus Johnny Starr. The winner gets a shot at the Southern Heavyweight title. And then return grudge match, father and son tag team match, Tommy and Eddie Gilbert versus Ken and Buddy Wayne.
There you go.
And then the main event for that card, listen to this main event. Jerry Lawler, Bill Dundee, and Jackie Fargo versus Sergeant Davis, Wayne Ferris, and Larry Latham.
Sergeant Davis, Wayne Ferris, and Larry Latham. Wayne Ferris was the honky-tonk man.
Now I just gotta. Okay, so here's the results. Larry Latham, Wayne Ferris, and Danny Davis were the winners over Steve Riegel, Jerry Lawler, and Jackie Fargo. I guess Dundee couldn't wrestle or something. On the main event last night at the Mid-South Coliseum, a crowd of 4,000.
4,000 at the Coliseum.
4,370 attended in other matches. Buddy and Ken Wayne whipped Tommy and Eddie Gilbert. There you go. Ron Bass whipped Randy Tyler. Coco Ware won in a disqualification over Peter Austin. And Dallas Montgomery and Steve Riegel defeated Hans Schroeder and the Gestapo.
There you go.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. That was for you, Buddy Wayne. I hope you're wrestling up there in heaven. And you know what? Maybe there's some greenhorns coming up there and you can train them too.
Man. See if there was one in there from January 1st, 1980. Because he said that was at the Coliseum.
January 1st, 1980. That means I got to, let's see, we're in 78, so that means go up, right?
Yeah.
Okay. January 1st. Okay. Yep. January 1st, 1980. Oh, here we go. So this was at the Mid-South Coliseum, 8 p.m. bell time. The Monday special, all grounds admission, $2. Children, 10 free, and general admission seats accompanied by adults. Paul Ellering versus Buddy Wayne. I bet you that was a great match. Tojo Yamamoto versus Big Red. Sonny King versus Rick Morton. The Assassins versus Rick and Robert Gibson. And the main event, I think it was a, looks like it was a four corners match. Jerry Lawler and Jimmy Hart. No, it was a tag team match. I'm sorry. Jerry Lawler and Jimmy Hart versus Ken Lucas and Steve Riegel. With special guest referee, the Boogie Woogie Man, I'm Dansome Jimmy Valiant, baby. My grandmother is from right here in Memphis, but I'm from New York City, but my grandmother still lives there to this day, brother.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you like my handsome Jimmy?
That's pretty good.
Just pretty good?
Not on point, but...
Well,
you should have totally did that with the sound effect.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll tell you stuff to man, brother. We're going to go down here to Memphis, Tennessee, Mercy Daddy. I think I do a good handsome Jimmy. Well, that's all I got for this week, guys. Anything else?
I'm good.
All right.
You know,
well, let's get out of here.
Rest in peace. Get out of here before we get injured.
Yeah, really. Rest in peace, Buddy Wayne, you know.
Rest in peace. Prayers of us here at the Oversell Podcast are with the Wayne family, Eric and Ken, and their brothers, and any siblings and cousins and anything like that.
He left a big family, you know.
That's
big impression on Memphis wrestling and a big family behind him. So, and I think he died proud of his family.
Did you guys happen to see the Owen Hart DVD? Speaking of,
I have not.
It
yet.
Is awesome. It well, good. Watch it. Yet. Watch it because it is. It's probably one of the best DVDs that WWE puts out. They always seem to up their game each other. These documentary DVDs.
I'll just wait for it to come on the network in 6 months.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in 6 months. Remind me. All right, folks. Well, as we like to end every show, we like to do Superstar of the Week. So, guys, I ask you, who is your
Superstar of the Week?
Who's going to go first?
You?
Me?
You
really?
Spoke first. Uh-huh.
Dang it. I'm going to put up there Bishop Cage and Action Jackson for having match of the night. At Southern Heavyweight Classic. I'm gonna make them both my Superstar of the Week.
Okay, Mike?
Heath freaking Slater.
Oh, whoa! Leader of the social outcast. Hey, man.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to be a part of Heath Slater's gang after three-man band got completely annihilated and fired.
Well, these guys, he's with a lot better guys now than Jinder Mahal. And well, he did have Drew Galloway. Yeah, Drew Galloway is
Drew
awesome.
Galloway's awesome.
I'm going, I've got to go to two superstars. I want to do a local and an international. For international, I got to go with Shibata.
Mm-hmm.
Watching that match with him and Ishii, oh, just those kicks, man. My back hurt a little bit after seeing those kicks. Locally, I'm going to go Austin Lane because of the match him and Del Tucker put on.
I can deal with that.
Well, guys, that's all we have for this week. We thank you for listening. The easiest way to get to this podcast is subscribe to it on iTunes. And while you're there, leave a little 5-star review. Help us out. Head over to OverSellPodcast.com and buy lots of fun stuff. using that Amazon link at oversellpodcast.com right underneath the main player. Be sure you're following us on Twitter. We are at Oversell Podcast, facebook.com/oversellpodcast. I am at Schropnuts, S-C-H-R-O-E-P-N-U-T-S.
I am at One Dangerous Dan. I'm Facebook 2, Dangerous Dan Matthews.
At WolfMike23, and I promise I'll use it more this year.
Yeah, that, is that your resolution? To
yeah, we'll do that.
I will
yeah.
at least put one word on Twitter every week. That is my New Year's resolution.
Well, all right, folks, we're going to get around here. This is the Oversell Podcast.